word today, that I bring forth your word accurately, Lord. I ask you to bless the hearers, Father God, and let it produce much fruit in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated. I'm sorry, it's not Bert today. She's really funny. And she is funny. She has a lot of funny videos and cute things. I would have had a video today, but Kyle's not here, so I blame him. Sorry, Kyle. You know, when you hear this, you're going to feel really bad, but don't. It's okay. Pastor Jack wouldn't do a video for me because it's too techy for him. So, all right. So, well, anyway, Bert did say the pastor asked me to preach a few weeks ago. And he said, hey, could you please give Roberta a little bit of a break this year? And, of course, I said, no. My God, this is a lot of work. Anyway, as the day lingered on, I felt bad about what I had said. So after dinner that evening, was doing my dishes and kind of staring out the window while I was doing the dishes. And I said, Lord, if you really want me to preach on Mother's Day, you're going to have to give me something tonight. So after I got done with the dishes, I went to the office and I started, you know, with my Bible and on the computer, and I started working and looking up scriptures. And when I thought I finally had like a path to go on, I text Bert the next morning. And I said, hey, Bert, pastor asked me if I would preach. And I said, no, but anyway, I have something. I think I have something for Mother's Day. But if you have something and you want to preach, I won't feel bad. She writes back almost instantly, happy face, smiley face, thumbs up, there is a God. There is a God. Am I talking loud enough? Okay, if I'm not, because I have this, all right. Yeah, at my house, I have to repeat everything twice. Okay. Okay, while I was preparing for this message, I learned something extremely valuable. Noise-canceling earphones. They're amazing. Everything in my house sounded like Mount Vesuvius. When I was trying to study for this, I was like, will you people please quit making noise? So ladies, with your husbands to preach up here, go out, Walmart, buy noise-canceling earphones. They're amazing. Mine are pink, but they have them in black, so it's a good thing. All right. All right. Well, but my family, Leanne and Jack, I asked them last week. I said, so what are we doing for Mother's Day? Where are you taking me? Where are we going? What are your plans? What do you have going on? And Leanne says, I don't know. And Pastor Jack says, I don't know. So I said, well, what do you want to do? I know Pastor Jack doesn't like to go out to eat. So I said, well, why don't we cater in? I don't mind that. Besides, the biggest part of my day is playing baseball with the grandkids out in the backyard. So I really don't care much about, you know, where we go or whatever. So Leanne, you know, suggested we cater out. That's a great idea. So Pastor Jack said, yeah, and on Saturday we can make a big salad for him. And I said, who's we, Kimosabi? You know. And he said, Leanne said, Mother's Day is Sunday. Not Saturday. So anyway, but anyway, I did make the salad. And we're ordering out from the hot dog shop. So I haven't had a chili and cheese fry for like decades. All right, now I did a little research, and I would like to take a few minutes to enlighten you on the spending habits of the American consumer on Mother's Day. This year, Americans are looking forward to splurging on their moms this Mother's Day, and the NRF, the National Retail Federation president and CEO Matthew Shea said, retailers will be ready with a wide range of gift options for their mothers. Now, so according to the survey, consumers plan to spend, hold on to your wallets, $5 billion on jewelry, $4.2 billion on special outings such as dinner and brunch, $2.6 billion on flowers, $2.5 billion on gift cards, $2.1 billion on clothing, $2 billion on consumer electronics, and $1.9 billion on personal services such as a day spa. Ladies, it's my prayer that you receive your portion of that $20-plus billion in gifts today. Amen? Okay, also on Mother's Day, Mother's Day comes in third after Christmas and Valentine's Day in card giving, so over 141 million cards will be sent this year. So I know that all of you know that Anna Jarvis was instrumental in raising awareness for the need for Mother's Day. And originally it was conceived to be a day of personal celebration between moms and their families. Her vision of the day involved moms wearing a badge, wearing a white carnation as a badge and visiting one's mother or going to church. Sadly, and much to Anna's dismay, once Mother's Day became a national holiday, merchants capitalized on its popularity and things spiraled out of control. But regardless of how much money you spend on your mom today, one thing that is most important, it's to let her know that you're grateful for her sacrifices and her labor of love. You can never say thank you enough, so today's a really good day to make up for lost time. Oh, and that reminds me of a story. I read of a husband who was feeling really guilty because he had not been paying attention to his wife. So he decided to make a change. So on his way home from work, he picked up a big box of candy and a big bouquet of flowers, and he walks up to the front door, and he rings the doorbell. She opens the door, and instantly, he starts to sing her this little song, and he says, "Have I told you lately that I love you?" Well, instantly, she starts to cry. Big old tears come gushing out of her face. She said, "Harry, the house is such a mess, and the children were terrible, and there was a leak in the plumbing, and now you come home drunk." All right, on a serious note, I realize that some of you here today do not have any children of your own. You may have lost a child, and for that, we're deeply sorry for your pain. Or your children may not be following the path that you'd hoped for. And the pain of those circumstances are especially great today. And for that, we're sorry. But we're a praying church. And if we know that you're hurting in some way, we'll make it our duty to pray for you. We pray for restoration, for healing, for comfort, and that God will give you peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, on Mother's Day, it's always appropriate to mention famous women from the Bible, to compare their lives to ours in some way or another. So today I want to share a story about Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's a story that we've read many times but paid little attention to. Give me 1 second, folks. All right. Amen. All right, turn with me to John chapter 2. Okay, in the book of John, we see an interesting account between Jesus and his mother at a wedding. We don't know exactly if it's a family member or a good friend that they're attending. But for some reason, Mary feels responsible for a situation that occurs during the wedding feast. Okay, now let's read in verse 1. "And on the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Now let's just stop right there for a second, and just to say that weddings are a big deal. Girls start planning their wedding, at age 10, 8, 5? They just are all thinking about what's going to happen on their big wedding day. And I know of one young couple here that is right in the middle of wedding plans, and they might be starting to feel the pressure of that even now. So weddings are huge, no doubt about that. In biblical days, they were a big deal as well. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 2, it starts out by saying, "And the third day." That's when Jesus and his disciples arrived. And as you know, at that time, a wedding was not a one-day celebration. It was a week-long event. And I'm sure all of you are happy that that's not the norm for today. One day wedding is enough. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's read verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, I have no wine. They have no wine. I don't know about you, but I'm not seeing a question here, because to me it sounds more like a statement. So when Jesus responds to Mary the way he does in verse 4, I start to wonder. This was a huge problem. It's only the third day of the wedding feast, and at this point in their customs, the bride and the groom haven't been given in marriage yet, and they were out of wine. Let's go back to verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Let's look further at the comment that Jesus makes. This may seem harsh to you, or maybe even rude. After all, this is Jesus, and he should be polite to his mother, correct? But his addressing her as a woman doesn't have the same connotation that it does today. The term is one of respect and courtesy. Although, in referring to her as woman, there is a new hint of distance. There was now a new relationship between Mary and Jesus. Her son no longer would call her mother. Mary might have at that time realized that when Jesus called her woman, it told her that the old days of Jesus being subject unto her were gone forever. I know right now what you're thinking. You moms might be thinking that you felt that same pain that Mary experienced. As mom, what do we live for? We live to raise our children to become independent, to get a good education, a good job, to get married, have children of their own, and when they do, we find a new distance occurs. But we as moms need to be supportive of our children. It's an adjustment. And we need to accept that our children are moving onto their own path. So we should support them prayerfully. Now, at this moment in time, Jesus is now answering the call of Messiah upon his life. Jesus said, mine hour is not yet come. But unlike us moms today, Mary didn't argue with him. Nevertheless, she instinctively knew that he would fix her problem. We love our kids. We're proud of their talents. Sometimes we come across situations we feel that they could be of some assistance. So we do what we do best. We volunteer our children to help friends, relatives, neighbors, random strangers. Oh, don't you worry. My little girl, my little boy, he'll take care of that for you. Hey, sweetheart, I told Mrs. So-and-so that you'd be over her house tomorrow to help her with her whatever. Hello? Sweetheart? Oh, we must have gotten disconnected. The culture of that time to run out of wine would have been quite an embarrassment. Middle Eastern hospitality demanded that hosts care for their guests graciously. If this young couple didn't find some wine somewhere fast, they were never going to get over their embarrassment. Now, when trouble comes, there are just some people that just can't stand by and watch someone else go up in smoke. They like to run in and help, like so many of you. I've seen you so many times. Come in where there's a problem and fix it, lickety-split. Mary made someone else's problem her problem. She had in her home a problem solver. And she knew her son, the Messiah, could fix it. Now let's read verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. When I saw this, I couldn't help but think how significant that this verse is. I realized that it plays a part in our lives today. Now, I don't know how Mary knew that Jesus would involve the servants, but she did. I believe that verse is an example for us to follow. Mary is telling us today that whatever Jesus says unto you, do it. Let's read verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Verse 8, and he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Think about this for 1 second. Each cup that was poured was a miracle. Each pot filled to the brim. Each cup was a cup of God's abundant grace. Each pot was an example of God's willingness to fill us to overflowing. Why did Mary feel compassion for the couple's error? Why did Mary deem it necessary to help them? I don't know. Whatever it was that drove her to rectify the situation, she looked to Jesus for her need. Mary was interceding on that young couple's behalf. We just can't shrug our shoulders when we see someone else in trouble. It's not my problem. I don't know what to do about it. Maybe we can't physically help someone. Maybe we don't have the finances to bail them out of whatever problem they're in. But we do have a God. And he's a miracle-working God, and he sent Jesus. Amen. And we need to intercede for those people around us. We can't ignore them. We can't. Now, with Mary's lips, she spoke only the most necessary words, they have no wine. With her eyes piercing her son's, she could have been saying something like this, Yeshua, I have never asked for anything like this before, but I know that you can provide the remedy. Jesus, he provided the remedy not only for them that day, but for us as well, through the cross. Mary, knowing in her heart that her son was more than just a man, pressed him to go beyond the norm. They have no wine. She's making a statement, but with her heart, she's asking him to respond to a crisis. We should be like Mary, always expecting Jesus to respond. Some of you today are wrestling with things. You have issues that are pressing in on your life, and it seems like everything is spinning out of control, things you cannot fix. It could be your finances, your health, your relationships, your children, your spouse, your job, a loss of a loved one. We all need to do what Mary did. We look to Jesus and expect Jesus to do something. Fully looking into the eyes of Jesus and saying, I have no wine. You know, there are great men in the Bible that were in hopeless situations, and no one would have blamed them for giving up. We all know about Joseph, don't we? Read about him many times, Sunday school, church services. Joseph had terrible things happen to him in his life. He was tossed into a pit by his brothers, no less, sold into slavery, and thrown into prison. But because of his faith in God, Joseph was exalted to a place of leadership in the kingdom of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Always expect. David, we all read about David. David in Sunday school. We know about him since we were little. David, who had been anointed to be the king of Israel, found himself hiding in cold, dark caves in fear for his life. But he never gave up his faith in God. And God placed him on the throne. Always expect. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. All right, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Here's your promise. And that promise is this, that God himself will make you perfect. He'll establish, strengthen, and settle you. Doesn't that sound sweet? The truth, the promise that God gives us is that after we've suffered a little while, I know it seems like a long time. I know when you're in the middle of a problem, it seems like forever. But God is God, and he'll make us stronger. And we must look to him, and we must put our hope and our trust in him. But how? How do we do that? Many of us today are living in verse 3 of John chapter 2. We are living the problem. We're at the end of our rope. We're out of hope. And we're crying and complaining about the problem that we're in. And that's not going to fix it. We need to move from verse 3 to verse 10. All right. All right, here's the awesome part. Jesus saves the best for last. Things might get bleak. They may have gotten worse. But God is going to make them better. Let's look at what happens in John chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. I should have told you to hold your place there. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and then when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for now. How do we live in verse 10? Jesus makes that so easy. He went to the cross for us, and he took back the keys and handed them to us. Yes, things get worse. But you have the word. God gave us his word. There's no mystery here. Don't be stubborn or unwilling, a little proud, maybe a little lazy. You need to put that word in your heart, out your mouth, daily. Jesus did his part. Now we need to do ours. You need to build yourself up in this word and watch the difference in your life. Like all miracles, the miracle at Canaan was about putting trust in God. He wants to show up. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to take our stress, and he wants to turn our mourning into joy. Amen. We've got to be bold and ask. Mary was. We're cheating ourselves if we don't. Then whatever Jesus saith unto us, we've got to do it. The servants could have said no when Jesus said to fill the water pots. They could have said, that man is out of his mind. What purpose would it serve? We're just wasting our time. It's pointless. It's senseless. But they listened. Let's look to James chapter 2, 17.
Good job, Therese. Amen.
Thank you. All right, James chapter 2, 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. You can come to church, you can say you believe all day long, but if you're not willing to put action to your faith, then your faith is dead. I'm sorry. Because the servants obeyed Jesus, a miracle happened. When Jesus looked at his mother and said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" He was saying, "This is not my problem." But Mary knew in her heart that he would not turn her down. Jesus will never turn you down. When Mary took that step and said to the servants, "Whatever he saith unto you, do," she was operating in faith. You might think that Jesus was simply obeying the command that says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." But I believe in my heart that he was responding to her faith. Please. Oh, I've come to the end of my message. It seems like a very short time up here. Please, if nothing else, take home this one thing, that nothing is insignificant to Jesus. If it matters to you, it matters to him. So I end this message by saying that you can spend the world on your mother today, or nothing at all, or just spend one day with her. But I say there's no better way to honor your mother today than to put your faith in Jesus Christ and obey him. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Father, I do thank you for this service. I thank you, Father, that you bless every mom, every lady here today. I thank you that they have a beautiful day. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. Take them safely to and from their destinations. In Jesus' name, amen.